The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. I speak only to the greater glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So as you may have figured out from a couple of fundraisers that we've done over the last year, the J2A pilgrimage is going to Rome this year, and that summer time when we're doing it is approaching fairly quickly. So one of my projects in the last month or so has been trying to design a cross to go with this particular pilgrimage and represent the places that we're going as they have for myriad ones before me with Reg over on Whitehaven Road. And I think I genuinely confused him this time by putting on the back of it a saying in Latin, which is the motto of Pope Francis, as every priest, bishop, and choose a motto at their ordination. And Reg had a few questions for me on this one. He said, "I can put it on, but miserando atque elegendo, what on earth are you talking about?" And it is a fairly simple quotation from a sermon by the Venerable Bede on what it means to be called by God. The two Latin verbs simply mean having mercy and choosing. That is how God calls each and every one of us to be with him, by having mercy upon us and then choosing us, by recognizing that we are probably the wrong person for whatever job he is going to set us to, but having mercy on that, recognizing that fact, still choosing us to be the one to go forth and do that job. That it is only by first having mercy upon us that God is even able to choose us to do his work at all. Francis chose this as his own calling to the priesthood came only as he exited a confessional in his native Argentina, that realizing after he had said every reason that he shouldn't be a priest, that God was calling him anyway. And so he chose this motto to encapsulate what it meant to serve his ministry. But that is very much how God has chosen each and every one of us, by looking on us with mercy, recognizing our faults, and yet still saying, you are the one I am going to use to accomplish this in the world. And we see that no differently in today's gospel reading, where all of the disciples, now having gotten to see Jesus after the resurrection, are figuring out what to do with the rest of their lives. And you see, their first inclination is not to go forth and proclaim the gospel to the world, but is in fact to go back to doing what they did before. They all just figured, Jesus is gone now. This all kind of went sideways. Let's just go back to being fishermen. And they aren't particularly good fishermen. They weren't the first time Christ met them and they caught no fish, and they haven't really gotten any better at it by now, because they still need divine intervention to haul anything out of their net. But they try to go backwards. They try to simply say, well, we've had this grand encounter with the risen Christ, but it seems over. Let's just go back to where we were comfortable before and do that. But obviously that doesn't work for them, because once again, Jesus comes into their lives and says, no, I have chosen even you terrible fishermen to do something different, to do something greater with your life, to do something that you may not understand or even want to do, but yet you in your frailty and difficulty have been chosen. And so we see Peter in an obvious parallel with the last couple of chapters of John's gospel, where he denied Christ three times, trying to go back to his old life. Okay, I don't know who this guy is. I really don't want to end up on a cross upside down on Vatican Hill, so we're just going to pretend that we're just bad fishermen again and go on back. But Christ confronts him on that also around a charcoal fire, as he was when he denied Christ. That same image comes up again, and Christ asks, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, in Greek, responds, basically, you know we're friends. And then, once again, asks Peter, do you love me? And once again, Peter answers, well, yes, we are friends, you know this. And then Christ asks one final time, are you my friend? And Peter, offended at this point, that it doesn't seem that the Lord believes him or is listening to him, then says, yes, you know everything. You would know that I am your friend. And then Jesus follows up with the one caveat. Then you can't go back. Then if you are my friend, you are going to experience things you probably don't even know or want to experience. As he said, your life is not going to be yours anymore. A belt will be fastened around you and you'll be taken on a leash where you do not wish to go. But think about what would have happened had Peter been able to refuse God's call. We wouldn't be talking about a fisherman in the ancient world who was not particularly good at fishing, who simply vanished into obscurity. But instead, by answering this call to go and do something else, to go and be Christ's friend, to give up the idea of going back to life before God, he goes forward, is martyred on Vatican Hill, along with Paul, whose conversion story we read earlier today, and then goes on to help found the church that now remembers his name even so many thousands of years later. If not for that merciful choosing of a frail fisherman, there would be no Christianity as we know it today. Just like Paul, God looked on him with mercy. Paul was not the one to be picked to write most of the New Testament we have today. In fact, he was looking for Christians to stone them so that they stopped rocking the boat of the religious authorities at the time. But in fact, upon seeing Christ, upon having that moment with God, he could not go back. He was forever transformed and therefore went on to be something far greater than simply another Pharisee at the time, but instead to change the world with a new message. When God chooses us, he recognizes that we are often comically wrong for the task that he picks. But he promises that we are, in his world, the right ones to go do it. And the funny thing is that when he chooses you, you don't have a lot of options other than to keep going forward. Going back never works. Jonah showed that running clear the other way when God tells you to do something doesn't actually make you escape him. In fact, you just get brought back to square one, given another chance to try again. And you're welcome to try to run away and go back again, but you will simply end up on Groundhog Day being given the same single chance to do it again and again and again, because God needs your contribution to his world. God created you to help in his divine project, and he can't do without your contribution, your service. And so he is loath to let you simply waste that gift away. In fact, he will keep prodding you until his choice is made clear, until you do as he wishes for you to do. And Christ, God has mercy on each one of us, looks at us as frail and broken, and also chooses us to go forward and do something in his kingdom just as great as those apostles we read about today. Not that we will all be martyred for our faith as they were, but nonetheless making an absolutely important and essential contribution to his work in the world, to, as the Jewish scriptures say, fix a little part of the creation that was left undone, that was left for us just to go out and fix. So as we go out into this Eastertide, looking for our own encounter with the risen Christ, our own moment of seeing God pop up in our midst and recognizing that it was him, may we understand that he does have mercy on us and choose us to go forward in his world, looking to show us what little piece of his creation we have left to fix. May we go forth and fix it. Amen.